Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. the good old Brooklyn.
Hey, this is Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe, and tonight is our recap episode, and here is our host as always, Robert Howe.
Well, welcome everyone to Howe's New York. Again, I'm your host, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in New York to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. And as Jason mentioned, this is our December recap. A little early, but in as much as the holidays are going to keep us busy at holiday parties and family outings, we figured we'd do a little Brooklyn recap right now. And not expecting much to change in Brooklyn over the next 2 weeks unless Santa Claus comes and does some of his magic, although there's not much magic left to be done in Brooklyn. It is pretty much the jewel of New York City. But in any event, Jason has once again scoured the internet and periodicals to find us the most interesting articles of what's happening in Brooklyn in December of 2016. So, Jason, why don't you start us off with telling us some of the articles that you've located for tonight's show.
Well, it's an eclectic mix and some new media outlets for the first time. This one comes from a new outlet, the Brooklyn Inc. .com. And it's, I guess it would fall into the category of our neighborhood spotlight. Now, I don't know if we've ever really delved too much into Cobble Hill, but this is an article that kind of discusses the somewhat changing aspect or changing identity of Cobble Hill, specifically kind of focusing in on some more neighborhood mainstays, which were bookstores kind of being pushed out, and the new inhabitants of these long-standing Cobble Hill destinations are now turning into real estate offices, interestingly enough. So I thought that was kind of almost a surreal start to the show. And I guess in another way, an indicator of where the market is headed.
Real estate offices swallow Brooklyn. And this is, a little bit of an article about Cobble Hill, which is the next door neighbor to Brooklyn Heights. Not as pretentious as the Heights. And a working class, has a history of being a working class neighborhood. A lot of the people there, longshoremen, Italian and Irish descent, blue-collar workers and some middle-class folks who may have city jobs populated this area. And it was really a community, and they celebrated, they were proud of being from Cobble Hill, and a beautiful, similar to like a Bay Ridge with the Main Street, Court Street going through, and maybe if you want to put in Smith Street too, similar to a Third and a Fifth in Bay Ridge. Two pretty vibrant commercial spots where people just, left their houses, walked up a few blocks, were able to food shop, bank, cleaners, vegetable stores, and things of that nature. Beautiful, beautiful brownstone buildings, and like a lot of neighborhoods in New York that have beautiful brownstone stock, caught the eye of investors and hipsters and millennials and any other group you want to mention that want a piece of nostalgia for their own for a mere $1 million or $2 million. But you know, it is funny with Cobble Hill. I've, despite the fact that I am a Bay Ridge resident, spent a lot of time in and around Cobble Hill. Went to school in Brooklyn Law School many times. Parked on the other side of Atlantic and strolled around there. Also ran for political office one time, and Cobble Hill was my area, and got to meet a lot of people and appreciate, you know, the stores and the types of people that live there. Unsuccessful in politics, fortunately, went on to a career in law. You know, politics taught me that I really probably either had to win in politics or get your own job, and I figured getting my own job was easier than winning in politics. But I do have some relation to Cobble Hill, and you know, this article mentions a little bookstore that had gone out. They have a lot of little places. They had a lot of little places there where you could go in and find the craziest stuff. And you know, the bookstore I remember, I'm not sure that this is the one. I know this 12 may have been a corner bookstore, but there was also another bookstore, maybe on Bergen, just off Court. Tiny hole in the wall, you'd walk in, there were a zillion books all around. The room was probably no bigger than the size of a kitchen, and just had everything you were looking for. And I know this article mentions the owner. You could walk in there and say, "I want a book by so and so," and he'd reach above his head or to the left or to the right, and there would be the book. And you know, this article by Brooklyn Inc. is maybe bemoaning an era where those stores existed or could exist, and now we're into fancy food stores, real estate offices, as they mentioned in the article, nail salons, coffee shops, of course, and those little places are going by the wayside. What is your thought on this this article?
Well, it kind of brings back a lot of memories. My dad grew up in that area around Court Street, and we spent a good amount of time there. And there's still some places that are still there that are pretty much institutions, like Sam's and Caputo's Bakery, or in and around that area. And you're right, the brownstones, tree-lined streets. There, if you can really find a neighborhood in Brooklyn, in downtown Brooklyn, which you could almost define as a sleepy hamlet, I kind of think it's Cobble Hill or Cobble Hill Carroll Gardens, kind of right next to each other. It seems like that was the just the atmosphere of the area. So I wonder, you know, as we talk about all these neighborhoods and the influx of all the the tech industry and all the people that are going to be working there and all these big footprints that are now being gobbled up. I wonder how it's going to impact a neighborhood like this that did have that kind of real quiet, old-fashioned charm.
Well, I think on the commercial strip, you'll see the change. What used to be the vegetable store with the sawdust on the floor, run by the Italian man. I'm sorry not to typecast people, but that was, you know, that was what I grew up with. Also, you know, in Bay Ridge, the shoe repair purse guy. You know, those are a thing of the past, and you know, places to get different types of lattes and cappuccinos and baked goods, and high-end, primarily women's, you know, retail stores, fashion stores. Those are the things that are going in, and I think on the commercial strip, they'll pretty much lose that flavor of being, you know, a small town, a small hamlet. On the side streets, you know, they're narrow, old brownstones. Don't see a lot of opportunity to really change that streetscape all that much. So that will pretty much stay intact, I think, for quite some time. And, you know, you mentioned Sam's restaurant had many a pizza and cold beer there also, and a couple other small restaurants. And actually also in that little area were the first handful of Middle Eastern stores 30, 40 years ago, restaurants where, you know, people would say, oh, my God, they have this round bread and you dip it in this with chickpeas and, it's delicious. And there was a BYOB, so nothing really got better than that. But even those places are gone now, those little Middle Eastern places that, first exposed New Yorkers, to Middle Eastern cuisine. They're going too for higher-end restaurants and bars. And driving around Bay Ridge the other night, really yearning to go to a little hole-in-the-wall place to eat, not necessarily a big restaurant, but a little hole-in-the-wall, and really just missed out on that, that idea or that feeling or that experience I used to have finding those places and eating there. So things have changed a little, and I guess the people in Cobble Heights, Cobble Hill, are feeling the same change.
Well, a nostalgic trip from that story, and the next will take us into the next story, which is anything but. It's a interesting story, and it's something that we've kind of touched on before about Brooklyn being such a global destination and such a global hotspot for an influx of real estate, either investors or people who just want to live in Brooklyn. And this comes to us from another new media site that we found for the first time, Quartz, talking about the Chinese gentrification of Brooklyn via these crowdsourcing or crowdfunding sites in China that are allowing folks to borrow from these sites to buy property here, not just in Brooklyn in the United States, but in a lot of cases in Brooklyn. I found it a little interesting that this is an avenue to buy property, and I'm assuming that it goes on in other countries. But China's economy and its stature in the world being what it is, it stands to reason that they would have a leg up.
Well, the other thing that the article doesn't mention, I happen to have a little firsthand knowledge because my son studied in China for a while. I went over to visit him, and I was surprised to find that real estate ownership in China is really the thing that everyone strives to attain, and they will do anything to own, to be able to say they own property. Chinese government, of course, restricted that, maybe trying to control the bubble effect going on in the real estate market over there, and restricted people, families, to buying maybe only one house per family. They got around, and maybe they allowed to buy two houses or something. And what developed in their economy was that they were building cities, whole cities, that no one inhabited, but it allowed for this demand to buy houses. It allowed those people to, buy essentially a condo in what was an uninhabited city. Kind of hard to believe that all brand new buildings, and no one living there, and no one on the street. But so there is such a tremendous demand, and obviously there was only so long that market could go on buying, a condo in a deserted city. So now they've gone global, really, and yes, they are. Over in China, families would pool their money together in order to buy a property. And the same thing is happening, except now it's happening outside of their boundaries. And, of course, crowdfunding is an exploding idea, and the Chinese actually were doing it before that term came into effect. It's just now that it's gained probably a lot more momentum and a lot more formality than existed, you know, before the term crowdfunding came into existence.
The one thing that jumped out at me from reading this is immediately, and I thought, I tried to imagine it from a reverse perspective and think of crowdfunding here to groups of people with the goal of investing in property or buying property someplace else in the world. And I was trying to think, where would that be? if we decided, you know what, we need to be doing this in this region or this area or this part of the world or this country, in this city, where would that be? And maybe we should look into it.
crowdfunding is for everything. You have a need, you post your need on a site somewhere, and you see if you can get funding. It's really a relatively new phenomenon. I'm sure there'll be some abuses, but the Chinese people were doing this long before. Well, maybe a lot of ethnic groups were doing it, you know, putting their money together to buy something, whether it was Irish, Italian, Greek, Spanish, you know, whatever, putting their money together to buy something. So it's probably not that much of a different idea, but I think the Chinese have probably raised it to a pretty high level in terms of crowdfunding. And you know, there's also government funding going on. The government is encouraging people to invest, you know, and buy things in America. So it's, you know, a pretty interesting concept.
Well, the next story comes from the Brooklyn Daily Eagle, and it deals with our own backyard, our own neighborhood, the development of Fort Hamilton, the Fort Hamilton area being the area right around the actual Fort Hamilton and Bay Ridge. And we've had on the developer of what was Pippin's on talking about the air rights above Pippin's to build on top of that a residence. This article mentions the development of what was formerly, I believe, the convent on 95th and Fort Hamilton. So a lot of new
St. Patrick's, right?
Yeah, a lot of new. New developments going up, and what in a few years will be a influx of new inventory. It's pretty interesting. It's exciting to see. Now we've talked about all these other neighborhoods. Fort Hamilton now is being put on the map, so to speak.
Well, yeah, no, this it is an interesting article. Never, I don't know if too many Bay Ridgeites would carve out Fort Hamilton as an area, but, you know, there is something, you know, about that area and the fort, the actual fort, the Army garrison, that's its neighbor. Maybe, you know, I'm looking at the photographs that... you know, are included in the article. Maybe some smaller rise buildings over there. You know, the architecture may be a touch different, more of a, you used the word Hamlet before, more of a Hamlet style. But I don't know if too many. I don't know. Would you ever say I'm from Fort Hamilton or I'm going to Fort Hamilton? You would say I'm going to Bay Ridge, or I'm going to Dyker, or I'm going to Bensonhurst. Or actually, we don't even use those terms that much. But I would say you're going to Dyker or to Bay Ridge. Or to...
But it's interesting you use that phrase that we wouldn't carve out Fort Hamilton. And I wonder, is there? It's just this endless need to market a region as a new hotspot, and maybe Bay Ridge used to be. You know, the up-and-coming area, but now the place you really want to be is Fort Hamilton, which is an offshoot of Bay Ridge. it's just this constant carving up of Brooklyn into these ever growing little pockets of activity.
It could be a little bit of a marketing gimmick. You're in the shadow of the Verrazano. You have Fort Hamilton with that little park in the Cannons, Cannonball Park, right as you get off the Belt Parkway. Maybe Marine Avenue, would you say? I don't know. What's the divide? Do they have a dividing point here? Maybe Marine Avenue might be the dividing line for Fort Hamilton. But the streets are a touch narrower, houses a touch smaller. Of course, putting the bridge in and casting that shadow didn't help the neighborhood all that much with the construction and the noise. But, be that as it may, the bridge is 40, 50, 60 years old. And
it's come full circle with the construction and the noise.
And they're rebuilding it, yes.
Yeah.
But they do have, some lovely restaurants there, and they highlight the pizza place that has the coal oven, the wood oven, and the regular oven. But they do mention, that the couple condos that are being popping up there, one by St. Patrick's, one by Pippin's. We had Adam Friedman on, a while back talking about, his plans for that. So maybe that low-rise feel may start giving way to a few apartments and condos and larger than, higher than one or two-story buildings.
Well, the positioning of the neighborhood is really well done. The pictures look great and shows you some of the they took it on a really stunningly blue sky day. But you see a lot of things built up. Just to going by the article, you'd think that Fort Hamilton really laid claim to all the best parts of Bay Ridge. We've got the bridge, we've got Shore Road, we've got the park, we've got all these great restaurants that, they could be called long-standing institutions. Campania is certainly fairly new, even though they had the coal oven grandfathered in. But some of the structures that they show, the landmark building on 95th, that's a landmark from 1847. They've got some nice little what look to be A-frame houses on it looks like Fort Hamilton Parkway. It gives a nice little variety to the neighborhood in the area, and it has always been a pretty quiet little place. So it's nice to see it get some attention, and the development of it seems to be pretty pretty aggressive.
That it does. There'll be some condos popping up there in the near future, I assume, and it'll just that development will just keep on growing. But I will have a different frame of mind driving down Third Avenue now, leaving Bay Ridge, heading into Fort Hamilton. But we'll see how that carving out, how long that carving out lasts for. Maybe it'll become its own little area. Who knows? But go ahead. You have and our last article is.
Our last story is more of an art story about Brooklyn than a real estate, but I guess it could be a little of both. It comes from artsy.net, so I guess it is a little bit more artsy, but it's an interesting story. I'm a little on the fence about it, about its not about its validity, but just about some of the connections it's making. It's about the Statue of Liberty and the sculpture, the Minerva sculpture in Greenwood Cemetery, and how they're kind of linked, and how they look at each other from 3 miles apart, and now that unobstructed view is in danger of being blocked by development.
Yeah, it's odd. You know, I said to someone the other day, Greenwood Cemetery is a great place to visit so long as you're alive, and so didn't know about Minerva looking over the harbor, but certainly from the picture, Minerva is looking directly at the Statue of Liberty, and there's really no two ways about it, and commemorates the Battle of Brooklyn, which is, I think we told a story right next door down on about 3rd Street is that little house in a park where the Maryland Regiment allegedly held off the advancing English troops while allowing George Washington to escape over the East River into Manhattan. But I was not aware of, Minerva's involvement in that battle. But, the Revolutionary War marched right down 4th Avenue, if you can believe it. But what else caught you about this?
A lot of history.
Yes.
We knew it already. We know it, the history. It never really gets, I don't think it gets its fair due. I mean, the real prominent historical role that Brooklyn played, at least for its part. But it's interesting that the man who conceived this, the Irish immigrant Charles Higgins, who became a businessman, and he wanted to recognize this this historical this Battle Hill and this I don't know if it was intended for the Statue of Liberty. It mentioned in the article that the Statue of Liberty is saluting Battle Hill, and where they placed the statue, which is almost 100 years ago, 1920 is when they erected the statue, is saluting back to the Statue of Liberty from this site, and it really makes this real spiritual connection between these statues that I guess only an artsy.net could do. But to me there was a little disconnect with them. I didn't get the connection why Minerva, other than that she had, she also is a goddess of war, and it seemed like an odd connecting of the dots to get there. But I mean, like you said, in the image, if you look at the image, it really makes you want to rush out and go there just to see this. Say, well, they really are saluting each other, and they are looking at each other, because I had never heard of this story either, or was aware of this, but now it makes me want to go and see this.
But of course, behind all of this is a community, maybe. Probably not even familiar with Minerva, but seized upon her as an opportunity to thwart some, yet another high rise that would block the view of the harbor. And so Minerva's being used a little, maybe by the community, but I mean, maybe, as you say, she's the goddess of a war or a battle, and so maybe this is a battle almost 100 years later that she's getting involved with to pursue the views in and around New York City.
I just wonder how many people are really that interested in her view of the Statue of Liberty.
I'm sure a lot of people said
especially
Minerva,
the residents of Greenwood. The residents of Greenwood probably don't care that much.
No, they're not protesting, but I'm sure a lot of people said Minerva who. But anyway.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show. It's some interesting topics and interesting stories that we looked at. Our last recap for 2016, and will be next show. Take a look back at the real estate market from the past year before we look ahead to 2017. So why don't you take us out, Bob?
Well, thank you for, your research and maybe a little bit of theme tonight. You said eclectic mix, but there, on the eve of yet a new year, we have articles about communities changing, whether it's a Cobble Hill or Chinese gentrification, or the carving or the emergence of what might have been a separate community, Fort Hamilton, coming back into its own to a 100-year-old resurrection of a battle goddess. Things are changing, and hopefully some things will remain the same. But this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to our host, Blog Talk Radio, and thanks to our executive producer for finding all these interesting and eclectic articles. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people, wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge.